Well, for the rest of the hour, we started out heading out to Mars. Well, now we're going to look a little beyond a preview of this spring's sky show. There's an incredible sky show coming up that's going to include, if you go outside, you'll be able to see five of our closest planets, and they're going to be making a rare appearance in the night sky, and you don't need your telescope. Maybe your binoculars, we'll find out, because here to talk about it is Bob Berman, is author of Strange Universe, out this year from Times Books, and Henry Holt, and he's Astronomy Magazine's Strange Universe columnist, and Discover Magazine's astronomy columnist, and adjunct professor of astronomy at Marymount Manhattan College, and director of Overlook Observatory in Willow, New York. If you want to know where that is, that's near Woodstock. Welcome to the program, Dr. Berman.
Thank you. Thank you, Ira.
You weren't a hippie who went to Woodstock and just stayed there, did you? Were you?
Well, as you probably know, the festival was nowhere near here. It was in the next county, and that's what we tell the tourists.
Tell us why this is going to be such a good spring to see so many great things in the sky.
Okay, thank you for asking me. And you're pretty well known in astronomy circles yourself, so.
But not for the same things you are. The kinds of things I don't admit to. So.
Well, it's pretty rare that all the planets can be seen at once, and it's just going to start happening in another week or so, and then especially the last half of March and the first week of April, all five naked eye planets spread out across the sky like a ragged string of pearls. Quite beautiful, quite easy to see, and nobody needs to know constellations or have any knowledge of the sky.
All right, so that would be five outside of our own would be from the inside out, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn.
Exactly.
Pluto?
Well, no, we're not even counting the other planets because you can't see them. We're just counting the naked eye ones.
Did I leave any out?
Nope. That's all of them. And what makes it particularly easy is that Venus, which a lot of people are already noticing because it's that brilliant thing in the west after sunset, already observatories and police stations around the world are getting a lot of UFO calls for that. It always happens reliably whenever Venus is this prominent.
And my kids keep asking me why I'm standing in the driveway all the time. But then I couldn't tell if, you know, I knew there were all the bright ones were out there, and I saw Venus the other night. It was just, it looked like an airplane standing still. It was so bright.
Yes, gorgeous, absolutely.
And that
gorgeous.
Is Venus. What about the other ones?
Oh, it sure is. Yes, go ahead.
No, just the other ones. Where would we find them?
Well, just above Venus is Mars, and in the coming month, Venus will even creep a little closer and closer to Mars. So just look above Venus for the first much dimmer orange star. That's Mars. That's easy. Okay, now you do an about-face from Venus, and you look toward the east, the direction your back is toward when you're facing the sunset, and rising as soon as darkness falls is Jupiter. Easy to find because it's the second brightest star in the sky. So Venus is brightest, Jupiter second brightest, Mars is just above it. There we go. We've got most of them right there, and the final one is Saturn, which is not brilliant, but quite bright, about the third brightest star in the sky these nights, and is pretty close to straight overhead. And it, too, is at its best in, about 30 years now.
Wow. 1-800-989-8255 is our number, talking with astronomer Bob Berman. Yeah, and as I mentioned, I hope I wasn't lying about this. You don't need a telescope to look at them, right?
Oh, absolutely right. And that's the nice thing about this, that people are fundamentally lazy. I am. And who wants to use charts and books and try to figure out where things are? But everybody can find the brightest star in the sky, and that's Venus, little orange thing above it. That's Mars, and also just the intellectual fascination of knowing that these things are lining up for the last time until the 2020s. We're going to be a lot older before we again can see all the planets together. About 2016, you could sort of see them. It'll be hard to do, but nothing this prominent will happen again after this year.
Are they actually in a line, if you just drew a line in the sky straight?
Yeah, pretty much. They're in a low. The line is kind of ragged, but they're in that line that represents the plane of the solar system, the zodiacal path or the ecliptic path of the solar system. Since our solar system is squashed, the planets all pretty much line up.
1-800-989-8255. Chuck in Mishawaka, Indiana. Did I get that right, Chuck?
That is correct.
I got one name right today. Go ahead, please.
So this dance of the planets that's happening here in the springtime is really kind of a warm-up for the big celestial spectacle on June 8th, when there's the event that has not been witnessed by any human now alive, the transit of Venus.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, too. And you should be able to see that. The last time was 1882, when Venus, which will be so spectacular between now and then, is going to actually cross the face of the sun. I mean, imagine that, to see an eclipse of the sun by the planet Venus.
Wait a minute. Because when our listeners hear eclipse of the sun, they're saying, oh, it's going to get dark out, the planet's going to block it out.
Well, the planet will block about 1/1000th of the sun's disk out.
So you don't want to look at the sun when this is happening.
No, actually you do, but you do want eye protection. Quite right, Ira, that we don't want people staring at the sun. Although, since it's happening at sunrise, and if we do get one of those from wherever the location is that you happen to be, if it's very humid, very hazy, if there's a lot of pollution, so that the sun rises a deep red. Well, we've all looked at a sunrise or a sunset when it's a deep red, and obviously that's safe to look at for a few moments at a time. But then and only then would it be safe. On a normal sunrise, when the sun is a lot brighter, you definitely need eye protection. And the best is welder's goggles, shade number 12 or 14.
Okay, thanks for calling, Chuck. Are you going to watch it?
Absolutely. In Mishawaka, which is outside South Bend, our whole community is having a festival, and we're also initiating an exchange of solar shades with the troops that are overseas because they're in the prime viewing area, the prime cities being Riyadh, Kabul, Kuwait City,
great.
Baghdad.
Great, great. Absolutely great.
That's terrific. Thanks for calling, Chuck.
Thank you.
We're talking about what to see in the sky these days, this spring season, on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Now, how far around the country can our listeners see it? Can you see this, everywhere, or is it just limited?
Yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, although Venus spends 6 hours in front of the sun, it's spending just those last hour and a half when the sun is rising for the United States. So if you're in the eastern United States, and the farther east and the farther north you are, the more of it you'll see, then you could see the last hour and a half of Venus's transit across the sun. From about the midpoint, really the midpoint, from Texas on north, any place to the west of that line, you won't see it. And then you have to wait for the next one in just 8 years, because they come in pairs, and the pairs are separated by about a century. So even though we've had 121 and a half years since the last one, now we get another one in just 8 years, and then we wait a little bit more than a century for another pair.
Life is like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
First,
yeah.
You know, there's a city you never go to in your life, and then you're there 3 times in 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, and the next time the whole country will see it. So for those on the West Coast who will miss this one, you could stick around, eat those health foods, do those exercises, and just another 8 years.
All right, let's take another call from Amanda in Scottsdale, or it's Armand in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
My question is that the gentleman was mentioning the planets as stars, and from I remember in elementary school, a star was a flickering light. A planet was a steady light, and you were mentioning these planets as stars. So can you clarify that for me?
Yes, yes, be glad to. And, quite right, the reason we say it stars because it looks like a star. Of course, a planet isn't a star. The main difference between them usually is that you can touch one and you can't touch another. Stars usually are way too hot to put your hand on. But it's star-like. Venus looks like a bright star. Jupiter looks like a bright star. So when you say the evening star, at least you're directing people toward the appearance. But you're totally right, of course. They're not technically stars at all.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Saturn is out there. Is it a particularly good time, if you have a telescope, to try to look at those rings?
Oh, it sure is, Ira. In fact, a whole chapter in Strange Universe is devoted to this. Excuse the plug, but the publisher says you've got to do that every 10 to 15 minutes or so. The 30 years, it's got a 29.5-year orbit, and only now in that whole orbit is it so high, it's so north of Earth in position so that we who live in the United States see it so well. And as its rings wide apart, this year it's spread open 26 degrees, that's about as wide as it ever gets. And so the rings have not looked better since way back when, in the 70s. I was going to say since the so-and-so presidency, and then I realized I didn't remember who was president back in the early 70s. But that's how long it's been.
Richard Nixon.
Right, since the Nixon presidency Saturn has looked this good. So all those people who bought telescopes for Mars last summer when it came to its historic close approach to Earth, and who were disappointed because, after all, Mars is a very challenging, difficult object to see telescopically. Well, drag those scopes out again.
Yeah, I got to get mine out.
Yeah,
get them all in one night. You can get all those planets in. And
yes. Well, Saturn is the showpiece, so nothing does better than that.
And your new book is called Strange Universe. Why Strange Universe? Why a title like that?
Because it is, and because the emphasis is on odd events both in the sky and on Earth. On Earth, things like the most dangerous animal being deer, and why men are five times more likely to be struck by lightning than women are.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I guess I shouldn't.
They're playing golf too much.
Oh, you got it.
Is that right? Did I guess that right?
Yeah, you got it. That's the problem with me doing an interview with a science person.
I just remember that line, you know, what's his name, the golfer said? I can't remember who got struck by lightning. Yeah.
That's right. Golf and fishing.
Why next time I'm going to hold up a one iron because even God can't hit a one iron? thank you very much. We've run out of time. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Bob Berman. It's going to be a pleasure. We'll have to have you come on again. Author of Strange Universe out from Times Books, Henry Holt, also Astronomy Magazine, Strange Universe columnist and director of the Overlook Observatory in Willow, New York. That's near Woodstock. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Ira.
You're welcome. Our program is produced by Annette Heiss, senior producer Karen Vergoth, Charles Berquist is our web producer and our director, and our intern is Erica Altman. If you missed anything, surf over to our website at Science Friday. We've got links there, sciencefriday.com, and you can also download past editions of Science Friday on your Audible.com player, and you can also get Science Friday's Kids Connection. We make teaching materials free stuff for students and their teachers to use Science Friday as a teaching aid. You can also leave us an email there if you'd like. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.